Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. We'll read verses 19 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And let's read verse 21 together. Ready? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for our church. Thank you that our preacher's home. Sure is good to have him back. Father, please fill him with your power today. We're a needy people. We're a sinful people who just can't quite make it down here without your help. Father, please use our preacher today to change our lives. Use the Word of God to heal and to help so we could go out and reach more folks for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read to you again this morning the passage of Scripture that we all read together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Here God tells us, if you're looking for treasure, be careful that you don't lay your treasure up here on this earth. If you're looking for treasure, be careful that you don't look for treasure that is only good for this life. God tells us that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Which means this, if God said where our treasure is, there will our heart be, if we are putting treasure in heaven, then our hearts will be in what's going on in heaven. But if we're uninterested in the long-term treasure, that's the treasure that we'll get when we get to heaven, and we're only interested in this life, then our hearts will be invested in the things down here. We won't be interested in heaven. We won't be interested in the wonderful, wonderful opportunities and privileges and rewards of heaven. So I think God's saying to us, now be careful. Be careful how you invest yourself. Be careful how you use your life. This text, speaking of heaven. Verse number 20, though, tells us what is not going on in heaven. It kind of interests me. While God is telling us what is not happening in heaven, He is also teaching us, and we're learning what is happening in heaven. In verse 20, it says, "Lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." So here, God is telling us some things that are not happening in heaven. Not only what is happening, but what is not happening in heaven. So, see, what's not happening in heaven then teaches us some of the things that will be happening in heaven. I was thinking earlier this morning as I was going through this passage of Scripture and reviewing this morning's sermon, I was thinking of Smokey Kinsman and his wife, Sharuth, going to be with the Lord this week. And Smokey, let me tell you some of the things that are not happening in heaven. And when we find what's not happening in heaven, then it helps us to understand some things that are happening. The Bible says here, moths are not eating holes in their robes of righteousness in heaven. See, the moth is not there destroying their garments in heaven. That's something that's not happening in heaven. Rust is not eating away at their heavenly chariots in heaven. See, there's no rust up there. Rust is deterioration. That's not happening. That moth eating at the cloth, that is deterioration. That's not happening in heaven. There are no thieves in heaven. No thieves. No thieves there. There are no break-ins in heaven. You get a mansion and you won't need locks on your front door or on your back door. You won't need your Doberman. You won't need a 357. You won't need that to protect your house, because in heaven, There are not break-ins. There are not thieves. There is not rust corrupting there. There is not moths destroying their fabric there. There are no unlawful entries there. There's not anything stolen there. There's no suffering from sickness there. There is no pain there. There is not dying there. There is not temptation to do wrong there. They do not hate in heaven. Boy, God has over and over and over again in the Bible told us of the things that are not in heaven. Now, why did He do that? Because in telling us what is not there, we also learn what is there. By learning what is not happening in glory, then we learn what is happening in glory. And I like that. I like that concept. God is not only telling us what's not in heaven, at the same time, virtually, simultaneously, He is teaching us what is happening in heaven. Now, heaven is not the subject of my sermon today. It's not at all. Today is it's my anniversary as being the pastor of this church for 4 years. The very first Sunday in June was the very first Sunday that I became the pastor 4 years ago today of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And I have used this date, the very first Sunday in June, in years gone by, to tell you what is happening here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church at Martinsburg, West Virginia. But I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to tell you what is happening here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you what's not happening here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You see, I'm going to report to you today what's not going on at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, somewhat just like God did when He told us about heaven. He not only told us what was happening, He told us what was not happening. And you kind of kill two birds with one stone. If you can figure out what's not there, it'll help you to figure out what is there in regard to heaven. And if I can tell you what's not happening here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, then we'll be able to see what is happening here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Our church has had a wonderful, wonderful 4 years. God has blessed us in a very special and a miraculous way. Let me share with you very practically some of the things that are not happening here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Number one, we do not have division between the previous pastor and I. Now, to some of you, that may not mean much, but to me, it means the world. Dr. Don Smith pastored this church for 35 years, and I stepped in. Dr. Smith is still a faithful member of this church, and I have to tell you, Dr. Smith and I are dear friends. Dr. Smith and I, we love each other. Now, those of you that don't understand it, in most churches, and I don't mean in a few, but in most churches where a new pastor comes and the previous pastor stays, there's all sorts of chaos. There's a mess. That has not happened here. Dr. Smith and I are friends. Dr. Smith and I, we love each other. Dr. Smith and I, we trust each other. Dr. Smith and I, we support each other. Dr. Smith and I, we respect each other. Dr. Smith and I, we encourage each other. Dr. Smith and I, we defend each other. Dr. Smith and I, we do not listen to criticisms about each other. We love each other. We're not competing against each other. I could take you to a church today. Right now, that church got a new pastor just about 4 years ago, maybe three and a half years ago, almost the very same time that I became the new pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church of Martinsburg, West Virginia. That church, the new pastor came, the old pastor stayed, which 9 times out of 10 is unrecommendable because you just can't find men that will work together like they're supposed to. And in this case, I don't think they're gelling very well at this other church. Almost the very same time I took this church over. And they can't get along. The old pastor is there. He still has power over the people. The new pastor can't get things going. He can't seem to get the heart of the people because the old pastor has not done his part. And so they're kind of at a standstill. They'll take 2 steps forward and then a couple steps backward, and the new pastor is somewhat a puppet for the old pastor. And might I say, that's wrong. That's wrong. And thank God, we don't have to experience that here. Brother Smith and I, we work in unison. Dr. Don Smith, the previous pastor of this church last Wednesday night, stood in this pulpit and preached a great sermon on the doctrine of love. We had a great crowd here. You say, are you worried when you leave and turn the pulpit over to him? No, I can trust him 100%. He is a very gracious man. He is a man of God. He's not out to hurt the spirit of our church or hurt this young preacher. He's not out to do that at all. He's my friend. I'm his friend. And let me tell you something. There in this church is not disunity between the previous pastor and the current pastor. I love him. I love his entire family. There are some pastors that would just love it if the previous pastor and his family would just move up the road and go. I don't want that. Never want that. I look forward to growing old right here in this church with Dr. Smith and his entire family. I look forward to being their pastor till the day I die. And so, hey, let me tell you what's not happening around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. There is not disunity between the previous pastor and myself. But there's something else that's not happening. We do not have disunity among our people. The wonderful group of people who were here when I arrived, they love the growth of our church. They love the new converts. There was a group of people that were here when I arrived here as pastor. And we've experienced an awful lot of growth from that time to this. But let me tell you something. I'm so proud of my original, I have to call them, you know, those of you that are new and have joined since I took over, you have to understand something. There's an original group of people that I came here to pastor. And I'm going to call them the original crowd right now. My original crowd here. I am so proud of you. It is incredible how that original crowd of people have fallen in love with the new converts of our church. And we have a lot of them. Boy, there are a lot of new converts around here. And they love the new staff. And they love the folks who have moved here from other places, whether it's other states or other cities in the area. And I thank God for that. Hey, let me tell you what we do not have. We do not have disunity between or in the midst of our people. The large group of folks who have joined this church in the last 4 years, they love and respect those folks who have paid the price through the years to keep this church open, and thank God for them. Those that have joined this church in the last 4 years, they love and respect that original group that I started with 4 years ago this Sunday. Those new people, they love that original group. The new people, they love the original staff. I watch the respect. I watch respect that the original crowd had for the new staff, and the new staff and people have for the original staff, and I thank God for that. What a team we have gelled into. But we're not two churches under one roof. You say, so what do you talk about? I could take you to churches all over America where you've got two or three churches under one roof. They just can't get it together. They can't. You got one person going north, one person going south, one person going east, one person going west. Hey, and you don't get anything done that way. And thank God we do not have disunity among our people. We're not the old crowd and the new crowd. We even, Dr. Smith and I, we try to be careful not to use those terms, because that's not the case. You say, well, I am, then you are the exception to the rule. And I might as well get on board. We are a team here. We are not the old crowd and the new crowd. We are the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We're not Brother Smith's crowd and Brother Owen's crowd. We are Jesus's crowd. We are the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church crowd. We're not comparing to one another. We're not competing with one another. We have combined forces to God's glory, and He deserves the glory for what He's done in this place. The first 2 points of my sermon alone, if you only understood church building, you would know it is a miracle what God has done in this place in the last 4 years. Tell you something about me. When God does something miraculous for me, I just keep praising and praising Him and praising Him. Hey, you want to get more miracles out of God? I would recommend to you that when He gives you one, you spend a lot of time praising Him. After He's given you one, He's more apt to give you another. And I praise God for the unity between Dr. Smith and I. I praise God for the unity in the midst of this people. We've all pulled together to do the work of God in the church of of God and the Spirit of God, and I thank God for that. You see, as we studied there at the beginning of the sermon, God said, let me tell you what's not in heaven. And he lists a bunch of things that are not there. And virtually, simultaneously, he is saying to us, now let me show you then, not having to word it, but he said, I can show you what is there. Oh, thank God for what's not here. Thank God for what's not happening here in our church. Number three, I thank God we do not have a dead bus ministry. I look over here, and I'm so glad Brother Bajan, our bus director, is here this morning. Often he's over in junior church beating up the little kids. But Brother Bajan is over here this morning, and I thank God for that. I thank God we do not have a dead bus ministry. We now have 13 bus routes. We've got a couple of van routes. Listen to this. We have 124 of our people that are bus workers. Thank God for that. That's not a dead bus ministry. Hey, Brother Bajan and his workers on one Sunday had 783 riders. What a record. What a day. Hey, we do not have a dead bus ministry. We will average about 400 people that will come in on our buses per week. That's just about an average. Now remember, 100, 124 of those are bus workers, but I thank God we do not have a dead bus ministry. Hey, if you got to look, this week the people have been working, Brother Bajan, Brother Warren Storm and a crew, they've been painting our buses. And you know, we got some new buses, and they've all been painted. They're red, white, and blue, starred in stripes, and the whole fleet, once again, is up to date, and I thank God for that. We have purchased for our bus ministry, I think, four or five new buses, and they're all paid for, and I'm talking about in the last 12 months. Most of what I say to you this morning is not what's occurred here in 4 years. Most of what I'm going to say to you is what's occurred since our last State of the Union address, you might say, last June 1st. And so in a year, four or five new buses, all painted, red, white, and blue. We don't have a dead bus ministry. Hey, and again, let me say, there are churches, they don't want a bus ministry. They don't want a bus ministry. Say why? Well, that it takes money. And those poor boys and girls, they mess up the restroom facilities, and they throw trash on the floor, and the chairs are in disarray. Yes, that is all true. But they have souls, and they have lives, and somebody needs to reach out and help them and tell them about Jesus Christ and get them saved. Hey, you want to know what the answer is to get the graffiti off the garages and the alleys of our town? Get those boys and girls in church. Get them born again. Teach them some respect. Teach them that Jesus wants them to live right. That'll change their life. And around here, we do not have a dead bus ministry. Hey, and we don't use the riders to get big attendances. That is not our purpose at all. I want every bus rider and every bus worker always to remember this. To every bus rider, you are somebody to us. And to all the workers, you remember something. Our goal is not to just get a bunch of people on a bus so we can boast of a big number. Hey, those are souls. Those are people that have a never-dying soul, and they have lives, and we're here to change those lives. Brother John Doss, who is an addition of this year. Brother Doss is our assistant bus director, and I thank God for that. We'll be coming on full-time this summer. But Brother Doss has been teaching our bus workers every Saturday morning. He's been teaching a series called How Not to Lose Our Bus Riders. You say, why? Because I don't want to go out and get the kids and get them saved and then and dump them like a hot cake. I want to get them saved and get them baptized and get them into the church and teach them in Sunday school. I want them to grow up and get married and be happy married and rear their families and keep their marriages in the church. Hey, we do not have a dead bus ministry, and I thank God for that. There's some things that we do not have here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We do not have disunity between the previous pastor and I. We do not have disunity between the original group of people that I came here to pastor and all the other people God has added to this church. Thirdly, we do not have a dead bus ministry. Number four, we do not have a weak Sunday school program. Our Sunday school program is strong. It is not weak. We now have, get this, folks, we have 53 Sunday school classes. 53 Sunday school classes. We had some new classes started today. Mrs. Kane started a new class for adult ladies today. Brother Chuck Little started a new class for the mission men from down at Martinsburg Rescue Mission today. We now have 19 different adult Sunday school classes this year alone. And I'm not talking about in the last 4 years. This year, we added the deaf adult Sunday school class. We added a new young couples class called the Happy Couples class. I don't know if they're all happy, but that's what we named the Married Couples class. We have the New Heights Sunday school class for adults. And we now have 116 Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers. That's incredible. Our Sunday school program, it is not dead. It is not dead. You know, we've had nearly 2,700 visitors this year alone. From last June through today, 2,700 visitors have visited the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Sunday school. You realize on our big day, not many weeks ago, we had 1,405 people in Sunday school alone. Now, the big thing about that is this, most people that have a big day at church, they'll have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds less in Sunday school than what they had in church. That's not the case here. We had over 1,400 in Sunday school and just under 1,500 in church that day, and I'm telling you, we do not have a dead Sunday school program. Our current average, we just took the last 2 months and averaged them together, and we are averaging about 963 people in Sunday school every Sunday morning. Now, you say, what's that really all about? Getting people saved. What's that really all about? The teaching of the Word of God. Again this morning, studying the events of Genesis, you're learning about what happened in the book of Genesis, and I thank God for our Sunday school program and every Sunday school teacher and every Sunday school attender, and around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we do not have a weak Sunday school program. Not only that, number five, we do not have an empty church for our church services. I've just been amazed. Again, we just took some numbers and jogged them around a little bit, and we took the last 2 months here at our church and what God has been doing. We had, of course, on the very last Sunday of April, right here in our morning church service, our 10:45 service, we had 1,473 people. We averaged what our church attendance has been in the last 2 months. It's 1,011 people. Hey, on our Sunday nights, we're averaging just a little over 500 people. We're averaging about 436 on Wednesday nights, and I thank God for that. And again, you've heard me say it, but I'll tell you again. That you don't really find out the true strength of the church until you start looking at their evening services. Just getting a bunch of people to come on Sunday morning for the church service, that does not tell you the strength of the church. You check and see how many of those people love the Lord enough to come back on Sunday night and to come back on Wednesday night. There is the true strength and the backbone of that church. And I thank God for the very high percentages of our people that come back on Sunday night and come back on Wednesday night. Our church is a strong church. It's not a showboat church, and we're not trying to be. We're not trying to compete with anybody out there. We're just trying to do the very best we know how. We're trying to get everybody saved that we can, get everybody baptized that we can, get everybody taught the Bible that we can, get everybody in the church that we can. That's all we want to do. We want to just influence people for Jesus Christ. And I want to throw this in here. Our growth has been ethical growth. Something that seems to be missing in churches today is a thing called ethics. Ethics. You know, and let me tell all of you, if you don't know, because a lot of you have been added to our church in the last 6 months. You see, if there's another fundamental Baptist church in the area, and one of their members come over here to visit us, you know that I don't go visit them. My staff does not go visit them and try to convince them to leave their church and to join ours. We don't do that. Now, churches that are not of like faith, we don't consider it wrong for us to go after them, and of course we would to get them the gospel and get them saved. But other churches of like faith, we don't try to go get their members. And I'll tell you this, when people have moved here, and I'll call their pastor, and if they're coming from a church of like faith, I call their pastor and I'll say, hey, listen, so-and-so are trying to join our church, what's happening? I talk to them. I want a good relationship with them. We've not been unethical about the way we have done it, not at all. Somebody said to me recently, there was a man that was traveling the country, said everywhere he goes, he meets people, and he convinces people to leave their church to move to his. I don't do that.
How to do that? I tell people, go stay at their church. If I go down and preach in Alabama, I don't try to convince anybody to come here. There are people that have moved here, but I don't go around trying to convince them to move here. I tell them to stay there and be faithful at their church. Although, God does allow some people to move here. And churches change, and people stop preaching the Bible and drop their standards, and you're supposed to have your family in the right kind of church, and so some do make changes. And thank God for that. But I want to make sure, as we have talked about the growth of our church, that we understand it's not been a cutthroat. It has been an ethical, proper way of growth through soul winning and handling the people properly, and that's how it ought to be done. So, hey, what's not happening around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? Well, there's not division between the previous pastor and I. Secondly, we don't have disunity between the original crowd and the growth crowd of the last 4 months. We do not have a dead bus ministry. We do not have a weak Sunday school program. We do not have weak church services. They're strong Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Then, we do not have an absence of souls being saved. Our soul winning ministries are strong. And we are seeing people saved on a regular basis. I'm excited. We started, Mrs. Donnelly started a Ladies Tuesday soul winning program. It's growing and it's increasing. We just the other day, I asked Brother Tennis to figure up how many people are showing up at our soul winning ministries. We have about 211 people that show up to go soul winning here on the property every week. Now, that's 211. Now, not everybody comes here to go soul winning. There are a lot of people, they'll go out soul winning on their own and they don't check in here. But we average right a little over 200 people a week showing up to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Owens, how does a church grow? How does a church stay strong? A church grows and stays strong because we care about the souls of men. 802 people since last June have trusted Jesus Christ in their homes or out on the streets of this area. 802 people, our soul winners, have gone out and told about Jesus Christ. This year we started a club called the Dunamis Club. It's a club that meets on Thursday nights, and it's a club so that the children of our adults have a chance, the children get to enjoy a little club, some fun time, and some Bible teaching and things, but they get to enjoy that while their parents are out soul winning. It's been a great addition this year. Get this. Out on the streets, in the last 4 years, there have been 6,689 people saved by our door knockers and our soul winners. In the last 4 years, 2,766 people have walked the aisles in this church. Get that number. 2,766 people you have watched. If you were here on the very first Sunday 4 years ago, and you've been in these services, you've watched 2,766 people walk the aisle of this church receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Over 1,000 of them have followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Now, I'll tell you, I'm glad to know that things are not dead around here. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Next, we do not have unproductive altar calls. We do not. What does that mean? Well, if you don't have unproductive altar calls, it means you have productive. We have altar calls every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. From last June to this June, 460 people have walked this aisle trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You understand? That means we get to see 9 people a week. 9 people a week on, that's the average, every week, 52 weeks out of the year, we'll watch 9 people say. Now, sometimes there might just be one that comes. And when I say just, I don't mean that just minimizes that one, because if we spent $2 million a year and only kept one person out of hell, that would be worth it. At least it would be to that person, because, hey, the value of a soul cannot be counted with money. But we get to see 9 people a week. Oh, we've had days when we've had over 80 people walk this aisle and get saved. April 30th or 31st of this year, 84 people walked the aisles in this church in one day trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. But other days, it's 1 or 2 or 10 or 12. But thank God, you see, we do not have unproductive altar calls. Hey, we baptize people week in and week out. We watch people walk these aisles asking Jesus to save them. We watch people walk these aisles getting baptized. We watch people walk these aisles, becoming members of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We watch the people walk these aisles, strengthening their marriages, giving up bad music, giving up their drugs, hey, putting behind them the bitternesses of this world. We watch them change the way they walk and talk and dress. Hey, we watch them surrender themselves to full-time service. What a huge batch of young people we have going off to Baptist Bible colleges this year. And I thank God for that. I'll never forget. We had a special church service where we preached against alcohol, booze, drinking, drunkenness all day long. Put some signs out front here. And the signs out the front of our church on Highway 11 said, Pastor Owens declares war on alcohol. Got a car that had been crunched up, or a truck that had been crunched up, and somebody had been killed in a drunk driving accident. Set it out here and put a big sign on it. And I just threw a fit all day long about alcohol. Thank God, on that day, a man walked these aisles, trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, got saved and baptized. Hasn't missed church since. Thank God, the altar calls and all what we've seen happen around here. Hey, we do not have dead altar calls. We do not have dead church services. We do not have a lack of people being saved. We do not have an empty Sunday school hour. We do not have a dead bus ministry. We do not have division between our church and me and the previous pastor. Hey, there's some wonderful things we don't have around here. Wonderful things that we do not have around here. We do not have financial frustration. And I thank God for it. We do not have financial frustration. We are not, as far as this church is concerned, we are not a financially depressed people. You say, Brother Owens, the church may not be, but I'm financially depressed. I understand that. I just got back from vacation. I'm so glad I'm home. I'm tired of spending money. I'm tired of getting up in the morning. I'm tired of running all over the place and looking at things that I don't care about. But this church is not a financially depressed people. Our offerings are strong. It's been about 6 weeks ago. One of the ushers and one of our deacons, as I was leaving, he handed me a little piece of paper and he had a big smile on his face. He said, "This is going to encourage you." And I looked at that little piece of paper, and in 1 week of offerings, over $45,000 came into this church because of people's faithfulness and their tithing. Right now, I compared where this church was financially last year and right now, to date, we have brought in over $100,000 more this year than we did last year. And last year was a great year. Say, you got a lot of money saved up? No, we spend it as fast as we get it. And we are, hey, look, we're not looking for the undertaker around here. We're looking for the upper taker. I don't want the Jesus to come back and us have a big old bankroll somewhere and all sorts of people that could have been saved that weren't saved, because one of these days we're going to get around to it. You better bet your last dollar we're going to just keep on doing things to keep our church growing and reaching people and helping people to get saved and changing their lives. Thank God for our Faith Promise Missions program. Promises of nearly $130,000 to $140,000 to be given last year alone. We came within 10%, really about 8% of reaching that goal. Virtually unheard of. I think we raised over nearly $125,000 for Faith Promise this last year. And thank God for it. In the last 4 years, over $500,000 have come in to help our missionaries. And God's been good to us. Hey, let me tell you what we do not face here at this time. We do not face a financial frustration. We bought this little white house down here on time. When we wanted to buy the property, we didn't want somebody else to get it. And we bought it, but we had to go borrow some money for it when I first got here. I hadn't been here for long. This year, we paid that white house off in full. Bought a new mower when we first got here. Is that how you say that? Kubota? Is that how you say it? Like Kawasaki. We bought us a Kubota mower. We paid it off this year. We bought four, maybe five buses. Brother Beijing, have any idea how many new buses we bought this year? We bought four new buses, paid cash for every one of those new buses. We paid off our new copy machines that we borrowed money for some time ago. That new sign that's down there on Highway 81, and to all the people that helped to make it happen, we figured had we gone out and we paid full amount for the construction and the assembly of our new sign, it would have cost us somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000 for the whole project. And thank God we were able to buy it pay for it in full. And you don't understand this unless you're an employer. We've been able to pay everybody's salary and on time and in full 52 weeks out of this year. And I thank God for that. Again, if you're an employer, you understand the obligation and the responsibility of making sure those people that work for you have money to feed their families and have money to put shoes on feet and clothes on the back of the people that work for you. And I thank God for that. Our bills are paid and in full and on time. We as you know, this last year, we were able to resealed our parking lot out here. And we put sealer over the entire parking lot, and we relined the whole thing. We were able to pay cash for it, and just in time to tear it all up so we can have our building program. And I thank God, we were able to refinish the entire gym floor. Those of you that have seen it in the last year, we finished the project near the end of the summer of last year, but it is gorgeous. And we've had no big money raisers. I've not come in here and begged you to give money and ask you to mortgage your house or ladies to throw your wedding rings in. Matter of fact, I've seen some of you ladies' wedding rings that you just keep it. You keep that thing. It may be what you'll have to retire on. But we haven't done that. Thank God. Thank God. Hey, we are not a financially depressed people. And if we're going to stay that way, you need to stay faithful to God. You do what God has commanded you to do with your finances, and I think God will continue to bless us. Hey, there's some things that we do not have around here. We do not have enough space, that's for sure. Sunday school, I can't wait. There are a couple of classes that I just want to be able to move as soon as I can. We have two classes that meet in the locker rooms over here. You sit in a plastic chair, and you can see in the locker rooms the other seats that are in there. And they're made of ceramic. And I am so glad one of these days, because we're out of space, we use every nook and cranny. We use hallways. We use storage rooms. We use offices. We've divided our gym, I think. Last year at this time, it was divided about 9 different ways to accommodate all of our Sunday school classes. It's probably divided into about 12 different sections, and we're just out of space. You know that we park on the grass out here. Not that we want to, but we have to have parking. And if you came in here today and you say, Brother Owens, I had a hard time finding a parking space. Well, I apologize. We're doing something about it as fast as we possibly can. But one thing we do not have around here is we don't have enough space. We even added our 400-seat tent. We can get about 400 people underneath our tent. We've already used it a couple of times to accommodate the crowd. This last year at our East Coast Ladies Conference, almost 1,200 ladies attended. 110 different churches were here. And thank God. You know, I'm glad that I go to a church where there's not enough room. I like that. I like that. And I realize, you say, well, I don't like that. Well, I can promise you, you can find a church where there's plenty of seating. You can find a church where they've got 100 parking spots in the parking lot, and there's only 4 cars there. You can find that. You also find that there's plenty of room at the altar, because there's nobody at the altar. You also find that there are not people getting in the baptistry one after another, after another, after another, after another. You'll find that. Hey, and when you get there, they're probably going to need a lot of your money. Because when you only got 5 people to run a whole church, then they're going to need an awful lot of money. So, if you want to get double your money, and that way you could have a double parking spot. And hey, and if you want to, Brother Paul, what did it cost us to pave a parking lot? $30,000? If you got your checkbook out, pull it out, baby. You write me a $30,000 check, and you hand it to me on the way down the aisle today, and we'll get a new parking spot, okay? But until then, oh, we may have to park on the grass a little bit, but it's all a part of what's not happening around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I realize sometimes that we get a little packed in here. I realize, you take for instance, we added 3 mobile units out here. Hey, the fourth may be on its way if we can't figure out what else to do. But we're working on it, and we're doing what we can. But there are some things that are not happening here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. For instance, we have not lowered our standards to get a higher number of people. We have not. We have not. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Listen, I am not willing to grow a church and throw my standards and convictions out the window to get more people. And so you know, it is happening all over the country. There are people, pastors will say, well, hey, we don't need these rules or those rules or this morality or this dress code or whatever. They're dropping it all over the country. They say, it's the only way to get a church to grow. Ah, you're full of prunes. God still blesses holiness. There is still a group of people in America that want decency and morality and purity and chastity. Hey, you don't have to change what you believe to get a crowd, unless you're looking for that wild, crazy crowd that doesn't care about God anyway. But we're not going to change what we believe to attract a crowd. Our standards are going up, not down. Thank God, our Christian school, it's going to remain the same. Thank God, we have in our bus ministry 124 workers. They are required to be faithful to church. They're tithers. They live separate lives. They're soul winners. They dress right. They're loyal. And they stay away from the world's entertainments. And we're not going to change that. Hey, and if you're in the bus ministry and you agreed to do those things, you need to keep your word. The bus ministry has not changed. I have 116 different people that work in our Sunday schools. Every one of them has agreed to keep all those rules. Hey, we have nearly 100 nursery workers, and everyone that's been recruited since I became the pastor here have been asked to live by those rules. We have 50 choir members who have agreed that they're going to live by those rules. Somebody said, well, you have those old-fashioned standards and old-fashioned convictions and old-fashioned separation. Nobody's going to want to be a part of that. You're not going to be able to get people and keep people. I'll tell you, this world has had their belly full of phony religion. They are so tired of people just wanting to play church. They're looking for something that's real. Now, God's real, and holiness is real, and living right is real. And I believe that you ought to be a role model if you fill positions in the church. And we have not lowered our standards to get a bigger crowd, nor will we. Nor will we, God helping us by the mercy of God and the grace of God. I've not changed what I am while our church has been growing. I believe the same thing that I believed 20 and 30 years ago. I believe it, and I thank God for it. God help me that I don't change. I know where I came from. I know what I believe. I know what the Bible teaches. And in a world and in a day when churches are changing right and left in an effort to be able to be a bigger church and to do things that impress people, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. We're going to stay with the old-time way. We're going to stay with the old-time King James Bible. We're going to live right. We're going to live right. You say, oh, what you just said offends me. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just telling you, we have not lowered what we believe to hire our crowd. You say, that's not good grammar. I know, but it is good preaching. We have not been at a standstill in regard to the improvements and additions around our church. Some of you, a year ago, we didn't have all this new lighting. Thank God. Thank God. God's allowed us to put all new lighting in here. And I was looking down here at Brother Ron Osdale and all the hard work that he put in. Rewire this entire auditorium for us. Thank God for it. Since this time last year, we tore down all the walls and expanded the auditorium as far as we can expand it. We've added 200 seats and all new carpeting and new pews and new songbooks and paint for it all in cash as we went along. We just not long ago, our deacon board voted to we're going to put in a state-of-the-art new security system, and that way we can keep our deacons from stealing things. If you look around, the new landscaping and the new lights for our bus parking lot and the big, beautiful marquee that's out here in the foyer, the entryway for our bus attendances. We've purchased all sorts of new chairs and new pulpits and new computers and new air conditioners. And we put new roofs on the porches to our church out here on the north and south entryways. Thank you, Brother Hawkins, for the hard work. And by the way, if you don't know who Paul Mongan is, he's a very humble man, kind of ugly, but a very humble man, sits right over here in this section. That man works tirelessly on the finances of this church, and I thank God for a guy that it runs a tight ship. If it were not for Paul and his hard work, we wouldn't see this. We had to buy new tools for the bus garage, and we built the decking behind the gym, and the new floor. I one time checked what it would cost to have a gym floor replaced, and this was about 10 years ago. They wanted $120,000 to fix a gym floor. Thank God, we didn't replace ours, but we were able to patch it and refinish it, and it looks like a brand new floor. We bought a new tractor with a front loader on it this year to help us keep our property clean. Listen, may not mean anything to you. And whatever you do, folks, don't let the blessing of God become old hat. You say, well, you've been giving us a list like this for 4 years. Yeah, I know. I know. I woke up this morning on top side. Number one, I'm not spending any more money on vacation. Number two, I was looking back over this year alone and what God has done again. There's some things that are not happening around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We are not having division between myself and the previous pastor. We are not having division among our people. We do not have a dead bus ministry. We do not have a weak Sunday school program. We do not have an empty church in our evening services. We do not have an absence of souls being saved. We do not have a faulty or unproductive altar call. Hey, we do not have a bunch of financial frustration. We do not have enough space. We have not lowered our standards to raise our crowd, and we have not been on a standstill in regard to improving what we have here. And we're not miserable while we serve the Lord. We're not miserable while we serve the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Now listen. This is a church. We know our duty. It is our duty to get people saved. But we do it gladly. We are not just duty driven, but we are motivated by love. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. We're not using and abusing one another. We're allowing God to use us. Oh, I couldn't tell you how many churches where it seems as if the people aren't enjoying serving God. I want us to enjoy serving God. I want us to laugh. I want church to be delightful. I want church to be uplifting. We don't have the I've got to attitude. We've got the I get to attitude. And we've got to keep that attitude, folks. Now, listen, we must do what is our duty to do. And there are going to be times when it's not going to be ha-ha, and it's not going to be fun all the time. And at those times, our duty needs to kick in. There are going to be times when you're going to say, I don't feel like running my bus route. I don't feel like teaching my Sunday school class. I don't feel like going to church. At those times, your duty kicks in. Your character kicks in. You say, but I'm not to do what I feel like doing. I'm to do what's right to do. But it shouldn't be 52 weeks out of the year. It ought to be that every once in a while, sure, where that human part of us is going to kick in and it's going to be difficult to serve God. But thank God, we don't have to come to church. We get to come to church. We get to come to church. We're honored to serve the Lord. I know churches that are very productive. I know churches that are very busy, but they're miserable. They don't like it. They don't enjoy it. But we're not miserable while we're serving the Lord. And may I say, we're not hopeless about our church's future. I think the best is yet to come. I'm looking forward to this next year. We're starting a new program with our grade school cheerleaders. It's going to be fantastic. Whole new system of cheerleading to teach the grade school girls. We have a plan to upgrade our playground equipment this summer, and we're going to ask a bunch of our men to get involved, and the men's ministry here at the church is going to upgrade our playground equipment. Thank God. You know, we had a big prayer meeting. Well over 100 of our men showed up. We prayed for hours and hours, over 300 hours of prayer were put in, and we prayed that God would let things cut loose around here a little bit so we could get our building program started. As you see, all the mess out here, they started to hook us up to the local sewer system. Why? Because the building program has started. We'll get the retaining pond started here in a few months, and then we're going to build a new Sunday school building out here in the next few months, if not, at least in the next 15 years, we're going to start that building out there. We started our new Spanish ministry. It's only just begun. We started our new special needs ministry for children. And then we started, this year we'll have and host our very first Old Paths National Conference. But hopefully in the next year or so, we're going to start a jail ministry and a nursing home ministry. And I'm excited about this. God helping me with the money and the staff next year. I'd like to have a baseball league for the children here in our church. Then we're going forward. We're not going backwards. You say, but Brother Owens, I've not really been involved in any of that. Well, get involved. Get involved. There's something going on around here. There are some things that are not happening here. Hey, we have not ignored the Bible here at our church. We've not ignored it. Psalm 119, verse 123, it says, "Mine eyes fail for thy salvation, for the word of thy righteousness." The psalmist here said, "I wanted to see the word of God. I wanted to hear it." We've exalted the King James Bible. We've not apologized for it, nor will I. We've taught it. We've taught, and I couldn't even begin to tell you all the lessons we've learned from the Bible. Just on Wednesday nights, we're approaching nearly 40 different lessons on the doctrines of the Bible. The doctrine of God the Father, the doctrine of God the Son, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Word of God, the doctrine of angels, the doctrine of devils, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of heaven, the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of baptism, the doctrine of church membership, the doctrine of temptation, the doctrine of fasting, the doctrine of separation, the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of regeneration, and the doctrine of mission, and on and on and on it goes. Hey, we have been teaching the Bible, and we're learning the Bible, and to stand for the Bible, and we learn what we believe. We learn what God teaches in the Bible. But folks, let me remind you something, and I'm done. There are a lot of things that we don't have around here. A lot of things that are not happening around here, and thank God for what's not happening. I want to remind you something. We have not arrived. We have not arrived. Let's remember who it is that gives the increase. It is God that gives the increase. It is not me. It is not you, bus captain. It is not you, Sunday school teacher. Oh, though we may pat somebody on the back and we may say, "Good job," you better remember something. You better be patting God on the back. You better be patting the Holy Spirit on the back. You better be saying, "Thank God, for it is from Him from whom all blessings flow." Let's not become arrogant. The Bible says in James 4:10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." I believe what's happened in this place, I started out by saying it's a miracle. I talked about the couple first points in my sermon. I said it's a miracle, and I see it as that. Let's give God the glory. Let's not stop doing what has brought us this far. Let's keep showing up at men's prayer meeting where nobody sees you and you get on your face before God and you pray for the success of this ministry. Let's keep doing what God wants us to do. Let's not become prideful. Now that we know how to do it, listen, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, you have learned how to grow a ministry for God. Now that we know how to do it, let's make sure that we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we do not do it in our own power. You see, what happens to a church is, you know, you start learning the techniques and you say, "Oh God, help me, I need to do this right. And oh God, I need your blessing. And oh God, I need your power." Then you get educated. Then you get spiritually educated. And then suddenly, you go do the work of God. But you no longer beg Him for His help. You no longer say, "Oh God, I need your help," and "Oh God, I need your power," and "Oh God, I need your blessing." And then suddenly you are doing in the flesh the work of the Spirit. Well, let me remind us, we have not arrived. We cannot do this work on our own and do it properly. We need to keep God involved. You need to stay in your Bible. You need to stay on your knees. You need to realize the necessity of the Holy Spirit of God to teach your Sunday school class, to run your bus route, to be a greeter. Whatever you do, you still need the Holy Spirit. You still need to read your Bible. The reason why some of you say, "Well, Brother Owens, I'm not as excited about all this as what I used to be." Let me ask you, are you still reading your Bible? Are you still praying? Are you still submissive to the Holy Spirit? You say, "Well, it's all just becoming old hat to me." Well, I've got news for you. The Holy Spirit's still fresh. The Word of God is still fresh. The soul's being saved. It's still exciting to them. The problem is not God. Have you seen so much success that you say, let's get out of here. Let's go to lunch. Somebody else carrying the load that you started to help carry. Oh, let's make sure that we have not arrived. Let's exalt Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and let's keep God's blessing upon this place. God tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 6, He tells us of what is not in heaven. Because by telling us what is not in heaven, we then find out what is in heaven. The very same concept I use this morning as I say to you what is not here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church teaches us what is. And I thank God that His hand is upon our church. I don't want Him to withdraw it. His hand is upon you. You don't want Him to withdraw it. Honestly, do not. If you're here today and you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. You need to be born again.
So we invite you to be saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.